The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
Alan Quinlan, good morning to you.
Morning, Adrian. How are you?
Good, thanks. There's so much to talk to you about. We might kick off with Kyle Sinclair and the two-game ban. And the line that's given is that he's failed to respect the authority of the game. He's, if people aren't aware, said to the referee in a club game, "Are you effing serious?" with a little less censorship than I've offered there. Aren't they right, Quinny, in a way, to draw a line in the sand here and say that we don't accept this type of approach to a referee in our game?
Yeah, in some ways they are. I think, you know, people don't speak to referees like that in rugby. You never really hear it. You don't see referees surrounding, or you don't see players surrounding referee like you do in football and in soccer in the UK and across the world. So, yeah, I think they're probably right. Part of me thinks then it's a little bit harsh that he could have been given a warning or a one-game ban. It's a low entry point. He did contest the charge, saying that the tackle was dangerous and it didn't warrant a red card. So a little part of me thinks it's a little bit harsh. A slap on the knuckles would have been enough, but he's got a two-game ban. He misses England's opener against Scotland in the Six Nations, which is a pretty big price for him to pay. And he did apologise after the game. And I think it was certainly the wrong thing to say. It was picked up on camera, on the microphone, and I thought the referee handled it well, Carl Dixon. He played with Kyle Sinclair at Harlequins. So look, it's you don't want to see that thing kind of stuff in rugby, and we don't see it. He was obviously frustrated with the Cowan Dickey challenge, that he felt it was wrong. It was a no arms tackle at the time and could have injured him, but yeah, he lost the plot a bit, and he's known to be a bit hot headed, but it's dealt with now, and he pays a big price for going forward for the next couple of weeks. And I'm sure Eddie Jones would be disappointed with that.
Like saying, "Are you effing serious?" That's not exactly representative of somebody who's hot-headed. Like anybody could say that in the heat of the moment. It definitely seems that he's being punished for being too close to the microphone.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff said out in the field, and you do get bad language at times. And I think it's probably more apparent now on with no crowds and no noise and. You know, I suppose it's, Carl Dixon handled this really well and didn't panic at the time, looked at it, didn't punish him, and he just warned him about his, you know, what he said to him. So I know you've got to protect these values and the respect to referees, particularly in rugby, and rugby gets a lot of praise for the way players handle their interactions with referees, but I think I wouldn't be shouting from the rooftops if he just got a warning here and was as told, just be careful. And he did apologise pretty much straight after the game to the referee. And if he apologised at the time, I think it would have made a massive difference. If he got up off the ground and said, "Look, I'm really, really sorry. Shouldn't have said that." So that's probably where, why he didn't get that slap on the knuckles. But look, it's no biggie really.
Quinny, you can't allow it to happen, because all of a sudden what will happen is you'll have players going on picking up referees and all sorts of bad stuff going on. Come here. I want to talk to you a little bit about the Champions Cup and the cancellations that have happened, and the French government saying this week that their teams can't partake in cross-border competitions this month. So the last two rounds of the Champions Cup have been cancelled. Leinster and Munster are now effectively into the last 16, and both should have home games as well. Connacht and Ulster likely into the Challenge Cup. You've Exeter into the last stages of the Heineken Cup, Toulon, Toulouse, Racing, all there. The one thing that struck me out of this, Quinny, would be that, like, the French government are saying there's no games now. It's very difficult to see how that position is going to change in any way, shape or form for months to come, and surely puts the rest of this tournament and France's participation in the Six Nations in doubt.
Yeah, I think things will change, Adrian. I think the problem with the club game is it's very, very difficult to manage so many teams right across the board in the Challenge Cup and the Champions Cup. You could argue that the Six Nations is a risk as well, and it's dangerous, the cross-border stuff there. It looks like the Six Nations will go ahead, and the proper protocols and assurances will be given to the French government about that cross-border travel with the international teams. The club game is much different, and I think the Bayonne-Leicester game in December caused so much disruption and problems for their league and for Bayonne. Didn't play, they missed three games with that, and the new strain of this virus in the UK. So it's certainly after scaring the French, and rightly so, I think. I don't know about a 16 team knockout tournament. Is that going to work? Does it take away a bit of credibility from the tournament? I don't really agree with it. I think they should have tried to find the weekends to play the final, or round three and round four. The competition has already been shifted around this year due to COVID, and now we have a situation where we won't get round three and four, and we go straight into a knockout series with 16 teams in April. I think this has been driven by Premiership Rugby and their input into it, and the, I wouldn't say they're not being flexible. I know it's very, very difficult to move weekends around, but and they've got to finish their own competitions and stuff like that. But it doesn't sit easy with me cancelling those two rounds completely. We've seen cancellations already with COVID in December, where you know teams were awarded 5 points and a couple of matches didn't go ahead. So it's a bit of a mess, really. But look, I think the competition will be finished. I think it's pushed back, obviously, to April now, the European rugby. So I think things will be a lot different by then. I really hope they will. I think everybody hopes they will at that stage with vaccination programs and stuff like that. And the danger here is if the competition was cancelled and not played at all, it's better to have some sort of competition than none at all, in my opinion.
Alan, I wanted to chat to you about the out-halves at Munster, because Joey Carberry has done an interview this week. There has been news about Jack Crowley, or a little bit of a revelation in Ronan O'Gara's column this morning. But just on Carberry, first of all, he's done an interview this week. He looks like he's in a really good place. He said that he's been sitting in with the coaches a little bit more, and he's being in with the squad, and just being there is helping him mentally get through this long layoff. It looks pretty exciting, actually, from his point of view, that he is in a mentally strong place, that he is ready to come back whenever his body does allow.
Yeah, it's been very difficult. It's nearly a year, I think, on, and he's an incredibly talented player, and a lot of question marks about those injuries. And, you know, you get this perception the outside that he's brittle, and that, you know, he may have had to retire after that ankle injury, which comes with the territory. I've been there myself, where you have that kind of, sort of, I suppose, attention around it. And he's a very high-profile player, so it was brilliant to see him out there. Obviously, I think reading between the lines on, he's obviously pretty close to making a comeback and playing matches, particularly if it was Munster that rolled him out and he did this interview with Munster. He's very, very close, and he has been training for the last few weeks with them. So it'd be a massive boost to Munster, absolutely huge. And, you know, when you think of, it may benefit Munster, this European scenario, because they could have RJ Snyman back in April and Joey Carberry, and they'd be certainly a different proposition then, particularly if it's knockout, and that Munster and Leinster, which would benefit them if they've, because of their positions in the pool already, that they would have home quarterfinals, or they would be at home in this knockout situation first. Yeah, it's wonderful to see him back. I think everybody's crying out to see Joey Carberry back. He's such a talented player, and hopefully that will happen. Talking about the depth chart, we've had these discussions a good few times, the fly half position. You know, Jack Crowley coming on against Ulster. Jake Flannery is there as well. He's a very, very talented player who was very successful in the Ireland under-20s. He's someone who I'd love to see get some more involvement, whether it be as a centre or full back. But I think there's great optimism there around that position. Ben Healy has done very well. JJ Hanran was brilliant in Clermont. And if you bring Carberry back, you know, you've four or five guys there who are, you know, still quite young. With respect to JJ, he'd be the oldest, but there's a pool of talent there that's very, very young. Keeping them all happy if they're good enough is the problem.
That's the thing, and we've seen that in the Irish Examiner this morning. Ronan O'Gara has revealed that La Rochelle did make overtures to try and sign Jack Crowley. He turned them down. He wants to stay and fight for the 10 jersey at Munster, I presume. There has to be some sort of way where these guys are playing a little bit more at centre or at fullback, Alan, if you're going to try and keep them all happy.
Yeah, there, and that's the challenge for you on Grand Van. I think there's a number of young players have come through this year with Munster, and I think that has pleased people because you know, whether they're going to win anything or not, who knows? But I think if you're going to lose and you're losing with young players who are learning, that's a better situation than maybe not winning with people who've been there for a number of years and not making sort of changes, I think. And that was the frustration probably at the end of the Pro 14 campaign back in August when Leinster beat Munster in that semi-final. You know, the need for some more change in the personnel around the team and bringing some of these young players come through. And Gavin Coombs, look what's happened with him. I think Jack O'Sullivan is a brilliant player. John Hodnett has unfortunately picked up an injury. You probably would have seen a lot more of him. Thomas Ahern, the second row, has been involved with the squad. So there is some good young players, and they're attracting some attention from other clubs now because the depth chart is getting a little bit deeper now in Munster with these players. And I'm sure they'll start knocking on Johan van Graan's door in the next 12 months to know why am I not playing? Like Jack Crowley, like Jake Flannery, guys who were brilliant for the under-20s and Ben Healy. He's got a lot more opportunities with Craig Casey. So, you know, they're going to be in a position where if these guys are not getting played or they're not being put on full-time contracts or full-time development contracts, they're going to attract some attention from other clubs. So that's a challenge they're going to have to face. But it's a good prospect. I think, like I said, for too long they didn't have those issues or problems.
Imagine a phone call that Crowley gets and Ronan O'Gara's on the other end, like somebody who he would have grown up idolising, and he wants him to come and play for him. That must have been extraordinarily tempting, I would have thought.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think if you were, I don't know if he has an agent or who his agent is, and if the agent was talking there, I think, of course, it'd be incredibly exciting. But there's a danger then that you jump ship too early, and, you know, he wants to play for Munster, I'm sure, like Ben Healy. Glasgow were very interested in Ben Healy. He turned them down. Mm. These guys want to play for Munster and give it a crack for us. And they've still got youth on their side. So, you know, if Jack Crowley left and went to La Rochelle, he could develop massively. There's for and against. And then Do you get back to Munster? Does that door open again? You never know. So I think he won't lose anything by staying where he is for another year or so and seeing how he progresses and what opportunity he gets. But yeah, someone like Ronan O'Gara ringing or getting involved and trying to take him there. Obviously, if it was a loan move or a move for a year or something, you're still part of Munster and he's still part of the team that maybe he wants to give it a fair crack at before any sort of moves happen. But, you know, this is going to happen, Munster, because there's four or five of those guys, as I said, and they're all not, you know, in the next year or so, they're going to be pushing to try and get starts or get positions. Jake Flannery is someone who can play centre, full-back as well. Primarily, he's a fly half, but we've seen him being so successful with the Ireland under-20s at fullback. So he's someone as well who hopefully will get more opportunities. But it's a good complaint for Johan van Graan.
Briefly here, Quinny, there's a few questions in for you on YouTube. We'll try and tie a few of them in together. Wayne Ryan wondering if you ever thought about being a referee.
No, I didn't. I probably tried to referee most games that I played in anyway. But no, it's a tough job. I say this, and I mean this 100%. It's an incredibly tough job, and yeah. Even though at times I had my challenges, and referees had more challenges with me. It's a very difficult job because there's so many interpretations in rugby. It's not black or white. It could go either way. Look at the scrum situation. Who knows what's happening at times? Even the experts find it difficult, and it's an interpretation. So it's a very difficult job. And going back to the Sinclair thing very briefly, it's made a little bit more easier and enjoyable for referees that they're not disrespected on a continuous basis. It's very, very rare that it happens. So, no, I don't think refereeing would have been for me. I would have been a good referee, I think, because I, you know, I had an opinion on every breakdown, but I don't think it was for me.
You wouldn't be able to help yourself, Quinny. That'd be, I think, your main difficulty. Brian O'Driscoll named as Ireland 15 on the show with Nathan last night. So very briefly, back three, Keenan Earls, Stockdale, Henshaw and Ringrose in the centre, Sexton and Murray in the halfbacks. He went for Caelan Doris, Peter O'Mahony and Stander across the back row, James Ryan and Tadhg Byrne in the second row, and Porter, Herring and Healy across the front row. And I'll ask you the question that's come in here from Connor on YouTube, who's wondering if you feel that any uncapped players are in the mix to start in the Six Nations against Wales. He's suggesting Craig Casey and Ethan McElroy, but Brian has gone for very much experience. What's your thoughts on that, achieving that balance?
Yeah, I think it probably will be. I think Ryan Baird is someone who you know, could come into the mix there. Depends what happens. If he plays next week against Munster, I think Craig Casey's done really well, and I think he's pushed himself up and enhanced his position. I think he should be in the squad or thereabouts. Still lacking a little bit of experience, and the Six Nations is will be challenging. There's looking at Rory O'Connor's piece in the Indo this morning, when you see a probables versus possibles team and the bench on both sides, there's a fair bit of depth there. We probably need to see a little bit more change, and that would enhance the group a little bit more. Gavin Coombs is someone that could come into the mix and be, you know, involved in the training camps and stuff like that. But Dricko's team is close enough to what I pick. I think I'd probably, hooker is a position that's nobody's really nailed down the spot. I think Niall Scannell has been very unlucky with an injury, you know, before he's come back recently. And 2 years ago, he was someone you thought would grab hold of the jersey. He still has that capability of doing that. I think a lot of promise with Ronan Kelleher last year. I'd probably start Ronan Kelleher there at the moment. I think Rob Herring is a very abrasive all-action player and wouldn't let you down. And I wouldn't have a problem with him starting. The other one is James Lowe, I think. I just think he hasn't got the opportunity to have a fair crack at it yet, and he's been injured for a bit. I just think it's very hard to leave him out of the team. I agree with the fullback choice of Hugo Keenan. I think he's and Larmour's back in the mix now. So there's a little bit of the depth chart is getting better for Andy Farrell. I think it'd be great to see Tadhg Furlong back, because I think he's a loss. Dave Kilcoyne is hopefully back as well, and that gives him a little bit more depth if they could get those two boys. But by and large, I think that, you know, he's Tadhg Byrne in the second row there because of his form recently, which has been fantastic, and I wouldn't disagree with that. And the back row, probably, O'Mahony and Stander, there's been a few question marks, particularly in the 2018 year, the lead up to the World. You know, they were brilliant in 2018, 2019 and the World Cup and all that, and a lot of negativity around the team, and probably rightly so, the way they've played. But they've come out of that slump, and Stander, I think's consistency is incredible. He just keeps going and going all the time. And Peter O'Mahony has had a new lease of life, the way he played in November and with Munster recently. So, and Caelan Doris just gets, I think his talent is incredible, I think. So that back row probably picks itself at the moment. There's loads of options there in the back row, but you know, probably the other one is, who do you pick? Bundy Aki, Robbie Henshaw in the centre. I think Dricko's probably gone for Henshaw and Gary Ringrose if he's back, because of their partnership at Leinster. And so there's a few there that there's very little in it. But overall, I think it's hard to drop any new caps into that team at the moment.
Yeah. All right. We shall see which way Andy Farrell goes. Quinny, thanks a million.
Cheers, lads. Thank you.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.